Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his old sweet song. Wake up, you sleepy head, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy, what if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
But we're back to winning ways as well as the Addicts Edge crew out in the battle of the train spotters. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendez and joining me here online to look back at yesterday's season opener, the win up at Crewe. In one, we've got Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Very well, thank you, Louis. How are you?
Not too bad. Did you ever enjoy the game yesterday, following it from afar?
I mean, the commentary wasn't up to its usual standard, if I'm being totally honest. But I don't know, the game was okay. Win's a win, innit? And that's the way you want to start the season. So yeah, happy.
Happy as Larry, whoever he is. And also joining us on the phone then, the man whose commentary skills were taken to the next level yesterday as he commentated on a man drilling outside, is Mr. Terry Smith. How are you doing, Terry?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, my drilling voice needs a bit of work. I'll concede that. Yeah, I'm all right. Other than the frustrations of the sound, I'm all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy the game and the performance yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I think a win. The performance. Yeah, all right. I mean, it wasn't polished, but we got the win, and that's all that really mattered. I think, especially at the moment.
Yeah, you take the 3 points any which way you can get them. So in a few moments' time, we're going to hear some form of highlights of the game. Of course, we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer, his post-match interview after that 2-0 win up at Gresty Road. We're also going to hear from Connor Washington, who opened his Addicts account on his debut. We've got some tweets and emails to come to. And then, of course, we're also going to look ahead to Tuesday's exciting trip to West Ham in the League Cup. So plenty to get our teeth into on this week's Charlton Live. Tell, obviously, you were there then. Yesterday, both the goals coming in the first half. Alfie Doughty putting the Addicts 1-0 up sort of midway through the first period after a wonderful ball through from Alex Gilby, and then Connor Washington slicing home his first for the club just before the interval. Second half wasn't really too much in it for the Addicts. Crewe had a couple of half chances, but overall I think we saw it out reasonably comfortably. How did you see it yesterday, Tel?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I think it was quite a scrappy affair, in my opinion, especially first half, where I don't think either side really got to grips with the first game of the season, and I'm guessing that's the circumstances around it, with quite a short gap in between the last season and this, maybe not enough time to put together a proper performance, I suppose. Not enough pre-season friendlies and all that sort of thing. I mean, you consider that Crewe hadn't played since March, so you'd sort of forgive them for being a bit rusty. I guess we took advantage of that. And even though we, you know, it wasn't probably our best performance you'd ever going to see, we did enough. And I think you can't ask for more than that, especially in the situation we're in.
Yeah, Tom, I mean, that's what we should talk about. The fact that we are in this situation where, you know, we know what's going on with the issues off the pitch, you know, to go and get a result on it, no matter how it comes, is, you know, quite important for morale at this stage in the season.
Definitely. You just want to get the season underway and start playing football. And that's where the players can do their talking. And ultimately, they did that yesterday. I don't think it was the best performance in the world, but it was the performance we needed to get the important 3 points, I think was obviously vital. To get Doughty up and running, and to get Connor off the mark for his new club, obviously very important as well. A clean sheet, everyone's going to be happy with that. When you look at the defensive, I don't know if frailties is the right word, but the personnel that we're being forced to play at the back four. So yeah, it wasn't the greatest performance in the world, but the 3 points was the most important thing. And I know it's a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason. And I predicted 2-0, I think, on Thursday's show. And it was only when I sat down to start watching the game, I thought, why on earth did I predict 2-0? There's no way it's going to be as comfortable as that. And they had their chances, Crewe, by all means, and maybe should have taken a couple. But overall, as I say, we got the win. We're up and running. Everything else can kind of tick on behind the scenes. And hopefully this week there'll be some sort of good news.
Yeah, well, we never know what's going to happen with the takeover. Knowing Charlton, it won't happen for another 15 years. Terry, just before we hear my highlights then, unfortunately, do you want to explain yourself? Value pass yesterday?
Well, I think we need to speak to someone from the Football League. I mean, the EFL seemed to be stitching us up left, right and centre. And effectively, I mean, when we started and everything seemed okay, we did the sound check as normal, and we could hear people in the background, which was a bit strange. And I don't know if that had an effect on the whole proceedings, but just as I think the ball through from Gilby was sent towards Alfie, suddenly started drilling in the background. Now, quite how that's come about, and it wasn't a Charlton thing. It was across the whole. I mean, at first, we thought it was only a Crewe thing. Maybe their ISDN link was going balmy, but it turns out, as I checked this morning, and you check all the EFL clubs, every single one had the same problem. So it was something to do with the synchronisation between the camera, the video, and the sound. And whatever they pressed, whatever button they pushed, it didn't work. And all you got was some road workers drilling.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much how it happened. And you missed, I think, both goals, I think, were lost because of that. And then you came back with the second half and nothing happened.
Yeah, so there we go. Unfortunately, because the EFL couldn't sort themselves out, we haven't got full match highlights. We've had to leave it to the professionals. Here's my commentary of the two goals against Crewe Alexandra yesterday.
The space on the right-hand side for Alfie Doughty now in the penalty area. This is a huge chance for the Alex, and it's Alfie Doughty who puts Charlton into the lead with a calm left-footed finish. It was a wonderful ball through to the youngster, and he pulled it in onto his left foot and slides it beyond the goalkeeper. It's Crewe Alexandra 0, Charlton Athletic 1. Washilaja tries to nod it down, the flag stays down and it's in! Charlton double their lead, and it's Washington, I think, at the far side. Excellent assist from it. Oshilaja just nodded it forward and the side footed finish, and Charlton double their advantage.
So there we go, just a brief look back at yesterday in terms of commentary, just the two goals. Terry, overall, do you think the win was deserved? I think Crewe probably started the better for me and had the majority of the openings or half openings in the second half, but we were the clinical side yesterday, and that's I'm hoping that was a sign that we have actually still got just that little bit of quality for this division.
Yeah, I think we have to temper that, and I agree with you, by the way. But I think we looked the more likely from the beginning, even though, as you say, Crewe put us under a little bit of pressure, mostly of our own making. I have to say that we Didn't really, as I think I said earlier, we didn't really connect. We didn't really pass it crisply. I don't know quite why that is. Although it was very windy pitch side, you didn't really feel it when you're up in the stands. But it was quite difficult playing conditions, I thought, once we got pitch side after the game. And I just think that maybe our a little bit more experience. I mean, if you can call that the fact that we got Charlie Barker and Alfie Doherty in the side experience. But I think just... You know, them coming up from League Two, I think they've got a few injuries as well. They had some key players out, I think, as well, which didn't help their cause. And I think that we just looked more clinical. We just looked, when we threatened, we looked more likely to score. And I think that's how it panned out.
Yeah, it certainly was. And Tom, I mean, let's focus on the goals first. That first one, the through ball from Alex Gilby, that's that quality I was sort of referring to earlier on. You know, we picked the ball up on the edge of our own area and one through ball, and Alfie's there to finish the chance. And that was a lovely one from Alex Gilby. And I have to admit, the early signs I'm seeing from him, including the game at Swindon last week, have been very promising.
Very promising, yeah. That's what we've signed him for. I'm sure he's going to weigh in with his, hopefully, some goals as well. But his key asset is going to be his assists and his final ball. And that was a perfect example of it there. And Alfie Doherty, we know what his pace can do. He got round the back, he got his goal. And obviously, he played a fair bit of last season, but really started to get amongst the goals towards the back end of the season. And hopefully, he doesn't continue that for the next month or so until the transfer window shuts. But then he can score as many as he wants, because he really looks like a very, very promising youngster. We know what his pace is. And I know at Swindon, I think it was him that went through one-on-one. Was it against Leeds at the back end of last season, had a one-on-one as well? And I know Bowyer referenced that his finishing needs a bit of work. But, you know, he took his chance there and set us away. And it was that right stage of the first half where I think probably we shaded it. But the game was still in the balance. And to go 1-0 up, it just kind of settled any nerves, because it is daunting. You know, you've come down, you expected probably to beat a team that were two divisions below you last season, but you don't know how the first game's going to pan out at all. But we handled that well, and it was a very composed ball through from Gilby, who's obviously at home at this level, and a very good finish from Alfie as well. And as I say, to get off the mark and to just settle us down, it was the perfect kind of start to... And then to go on and get the second, obviously, and that really calmed us down. And as Tel said, from then on, second half, I didn't really think much happened in the game, but we managed it well. And as I say, to keep a clean sheet with the defenders we had is very impressive.
Yeah, and I think that the way the ball was played through to Alfie, I think the angle was perfect for him, wasn't it, Tom, really, with that finish? You mentioned that one-on-one he missed last week at Swindon, but that was quite a straight one-on-one with the goalkeeper, if you mean, quite a narrow angle for him.
And with his right foot, I think, wasn't it, as well?
So this was a good chance, and it was well taken by Alfie. And then, of course, Terry, the second goal, I guess you have to put it down to the industry of Deji Oshalaja.
No question. Yeah, I think going back to Alfie, you're right about the right foot. Both the Leeds one and the one at Swindon were both on his right, whereas this, he came onto it with his left and was able to swing it in. And I think that's the key difference. It's clearly more comfortable on his left, and I think that's something he's got to work on, that right foot. But anyway, onto the second goal. And yeah, and it wasn't just Deji. I think it was Purrington got the first header back in towards the box, and then Deji thought, well, this is mine all day long, and he made it his. And according to Connor, he actually called out Connor's name when he met it with the head, so he knew exactly what he was doing and where it was going. And then all it needed was Connor to disguise that scuffed outside of his right foot above the keeper.
Yeah, disguise. I mean, that's what I would have called it if it was me. Yeah, I mean, he's sliced it, hasn't he? And that's sort of gone in his benefit, because he admits later, as we're hearing in his interview, if he catches that nicely, it probably smacks the keeper in the face and goes out for a corner. But because he sliced it, the keeper's sort of committed to the save, and he's just sort of leaning the wrong way, and it just loops into the back of the net tail.
Perfect timing. He was probably just falling away a little bit as it came to him. And instead of meeting it on the full, and as you say, it would have either hit the keeper in the face or gone round down Gresty Road somewhere, or as it happened, it just clipped the top of his right boot off the instep, and just did enough to evade the keeper's hand. It was perfect. The way it came off his boot was perfect.
Yeah, certainly was. So that put us 2-0 up just before the break. Obviously, we saw the rest of the half out, Tom. And then, I don't know, second half, we had an early chance for Jake Forster-Kaski. But other than that, it did feel like the game sort of slowed down. It's not like we didn't bring on attacking substitutes. We saw Chuksunike and Johnny Williams come on in that second period, but it just felt like our opportunity sort of dried up, and Crewe were pushing hard for a leveller. And you know, Ben Amos had to make a couple of saves, one notably from a Mandron header and one shot that clipped the bar from him sort of late on. But overall, do you think we would be reasonably pleased with how we saw the game out at least?
I think so, yeah. I think Boyer is always disappointed, even after a win, really. I don't think as many times I've heard him say it was a perfect performance, and he probably would have wanted us to kick on and try and get one or two more. And I know he said we could have been three or four up at half time even. But all we had to do in that second half was manage it. And I mentioned it kind of in passing earlier, but there were kind of maybe two or three key players who I was slightly concerned about. I think Deji Oshalaja, purely because he didn't play a huge amount of football last season. Ben Amos behind him obviously played no football last season, even though we know the quality of the keeper he is. And then young Charlie Barker, you know, playing out of position at right back in his first league start at the age he is. You know, I think you'd have legitimate reasons to be slightly concerned about them, not because they're bad players at all, but just because of the reasons I've just mentioned. But I thought Deji made a couple of great blocks, good tackles. I thought Charlie looked really accomplished at right back. And then Ben Amos, as you said there, had to make a couple of good saves and did it, and reminded us why he was our number one a few years ago. So would I have preferred us to run out 4-5-0? Absolutely, of course I would. But just to get a win on that first day when you don't know what to expect is the most important thing. And we did that. And now we're kind of up and running, if you like. And we can start to go into this league. And, you know, there didn't seem to be anything amongst that team that was saying, oh, we should have stayed up, or we're really disappointed that we're down here. It was very much a business performance, an accomplished performance. And they worked hard for each other and did all those things that you'd expect a Lee Bowyer side to do, and got the 3 points, which was all that matters.
Yeah, and Tom mentioned there, Terry, you know, one of the players that stood out for us yesterday. When the team news came out, there was a bit of a debate, wasn't there, amongst us upstairs about who would be playing where, because we all decided that surely Charlie Barker would be central defence alongside Deji Oshalaja, and Prattley would be in midfield with Lapsley at right back. But as it turned out, it was Charlie who went over to right back, so playing in a position that we hadn't seen him performing yet. But again, Bo, we're hearing his interview after why he chose to stick him there, and well, he stood up to it like a man and not the 17-year-old boy that he is.
It's a strange one. I mean, especially when you consider where we were in the position of the stand, right at the top of the back. You look down on the pitch and you see this number 48, and he just looks a different stature to the person and you then see when you're pitch side. It's quite strange. He just oozes maturity that you wonder where it's come from. I mean, when he played at centre half in the previous two games, he looked accomplished. He looked didn't look flustered. I'd have to say, at right back, I think it was clear that it wasn't his natural position, because I thought at times he drifted in field a little bit and allowed, I think it was Kirk on that their left hand side to just drift away. And there were a couple of times where he got beyond him. But he got back all right, a couple of times he committed himself too early, but he's only 17. I mean, for a 17-year-old to even be put in that position is to play as well as he did, because, you know, I'm picking out one or two like small flaws in a performance that otherwise was outstanding.
Yeah, it certainly was very pleasing display from Charlie Barker there. Is there anyone else who really stood out for you? I guess we've mentioned Ben Amos briefly, Tom, but, you know, considering it's his first competitive, you know, proper league game for well over a year for Ben Amos, Tom. You know, he looked himself, and I noticed a few fans actually on Twitter who are obviously watching the stream with the sound turned down, Terry, yesterday, mentioning about how they enjoyed seeing him coming out for crosses and stuff, which is, I remember in his first spell here, that was something that Ben was very good at.
Yeah, I thought he had a very good performance and didn't necessarily have an awful lot to do proactively, but as you say, when he was called upon, he did it. He made a couple of good saves and commanded his area, which, you know, that extra little bit of experience that Dylan didn't have, perhaps that's something that you learn to do a little bit more, and you learn that judgment. It's funny that if there was ever any criticism of Dylan Phillips, and I know that some of it was unwarranted, it was about his kicking. And Ben Amos's itself was poor at Swindon, and then had a couple of missed kicks again yesterday. But again, he's not played football for the best part of a year. It's going to take him some time to get into it. But the basics of goalkeeping are managing your area, managing your defenders and making saves. And he did all of that. So, yeah, I've got absolutely no problem with him being our number one for the season. And I just hope that we can get a little bit more experience in front of him. Obviously, Jason Pearce coming back will be huge. But having to rely on Pratley playing centre-back or Lapsley at right-back or Charlie Barker. And again, I said it on Twitter yesterday, it's absolutely no discredit to the way he's performed, but it's just not fair on him to suddenly be expected to play week in, week out, which at the moment we're kind of having to do. And he's taking up the challenge brilliantly, as I say, but I just think we need a bit of help, and Boya said it himself. But behind them, I think Ben Amos is a very adequate goalkeeper at this level.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's hear from Lee Boya then. After yesterday's game, myself and Terry spoke to the Addicts boss, and he was reasonably pleased to come away with the 3 points on the opening day.
Yeah, 2-0. We played okay. I expect us to be a lot better than that. But first game, most important thing is that you come away with the 3 points, so, and a clean sheet. So yeah, it was good.
I guess you're looking for little flashes of quality, and we saw that a couple of times today, particularly that first goal, the ball from Alex Gilby into Alfie Doughty.
Yeah, and that's Alex has got that vision, you know. Alfie took it well, but the frustrating thing, we had that opportunity to do that maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 times in the first half, but we just didn't make the pass. We didn't take care of the pass. We won the ball so high so many times. The traps that we set, obviously stuff that we worked on, and it all paid off. But once you win it, then you have to punish them. I felt we should have been 3-4 up half time if we'd have done things properly. So, but again, first game in, it's all positive.
Yeah, do you think the lack of a proper pre-season might be why that you weren't quite creating those chances that you wanted then? Or
yeah, there's a number of reasons. But the most important thing is that we know that there's room for improvement. I see them; they're much better than this every single day. So maybe the pitch was dry. I don't know. Weren't moving as freely as we would have liked. So yeah, maybe.
We spoke last week about how nice it was to see two strikers up and running with goals, and a third one today with Connor Washington getting his first goal for the club.
Yeah, he deserved it as well. His work rate was really, really good, and he got rewarded for his work rate. So I'm pleased for Connor. So yeah, the most important thing is that when you get a chance, you take it. And to be fair, that was the only chance he had, and he took it. So yeah, I'm really pleased for him.
We spoke very highly of Charlie Barker playing as a centre-back last week, but I haven't seen him play as a right-back before either, and he was very impressive there for me today.
Yeah, he done really well. Obviously, it's a gamble playing a kid in a real game. In my eyes, this was the first real game he played in, a league game, you know. I didn't want to play him as centre-half. I didn't think it would have been fair against a big fella. But I know how well he's defended when he's played. So I thought, okay, let's try you out there. We could have changed shape if we needed to with the players that we started with. So, but yeah, Charlie done really well.
See, it's unfortunately an indication of where Charlton are as a club at the moment that you do need to put 17-year-olds in. Obviously, I ask you the same question every week, but it must be so frustrating as this delay in the takeover keeps going on and on.
It's driving me crazy. We need to... We just need to go ahead, you know, and we've got players lined up, we've got defenders lined up, but we just can't sign anyone at the moment, and it's just driving me mad. But it's good opportunities for players like Charlie to grab it, and like I said, the previous two games he's done himself no harm, and he done really well, and he'll play again Tuesday.
Are you kept much in the loop with the progress of the takeover? Is it all news to you as much as it is to us?
Yeah, I might hear slightly before you, but I try and stay out of it. This is more important to me, what I'm doing here, than the takeover. Obviously, that's massive to me, but I have to prepare, and I can't get sidetracked with what's going on off the pitch, and I have to try and keep the players focused on the game as well. So, but I just want it to happen quickly. If it's going to happen, just make it happen quickly, so then we can start rebuilding, because that's what we need to do. And with £1,300, you ain't building nothing with £1,300. So we need this takeover to happen.
You mentioned Tuesday, of course. It's a one hell of a reward for getting through in the League Cup, going back to West Ham. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, I've been to watch games there when I've gone to watch West Ham's 23s, but I've not actually been there on this side or playing side. So that'd be nice. It'd be a good test for the players and like when we played Arsenal pre-season in when we came back from lockdown, it's a good test for them to see what the difference is and what these players will do differently to our players. So it's a good learning curve, and I'm looking forward to it.
So there's not a great deal of room for manoeuvre within the squad, but I mean, do you think you'll be making many changes for that, or putting out a pretty full
I will make changes, for sure. I'll definitely make changes. Young Levitt, he'll start. I'll give him, that's like this one, he'd only trained with us 2 days, Thursday, Friday, so it wouldn't have been fair to just throw him in the deep end like this, but nah, he'll have another couple of days with us training, and then so he'd be in on Tuesday.
Cheers,
Lee. Lee, you just said you may not be the happiest in the performance. It was slightly disjointed, right? Second half, I thought we controlled it mostly, but before we came up here, with the disruptions you've had and the limited squad availability, you'd have probably taken 2-0, wouldn't you?
For sure. Like, a clean sheet is, everyone works hard for that, you know. I think Ben helped us on crosses a lot, because we ain't the biggest of sides. But Dan Prattley sliding in centre half, and it's like he looks like a seasoned pro there. He's been playing there his whole career. So it's good result. Performance, we will improve. I believe, like what the same as 2 years ago, we will get stronger as the season goes on. This is day one, and there's going to be some strange results today, but most important thing is that we get the 3 points, and that's what I said to him. You've given me what I asked for, and that was the 3 points. I have to put aside what the way we played and the negative things that we've done wrong at times, but the things that we just keep working on.
Potentially that's as a result of I mentioned it in the press on Thursday. You know, you've got a side like Crewe coming up from League 2. They're going to want to impress, they're going to chase, they're going to harry a side that they see as a championship club to all intents and purposes. So it was always going to be that type of affair, do you think?
Yeah, like, well, I think it was the same when we played in this division 2 years ago. Like, everyone seemed to turn their game up when we played them, and it's going to be no different now. So we have to be ready for that, and to come to places like Crewe, who try and play football, that there was really neat and tidy at times, and they caused us some problems. So we have to be ready for this, and to come here and take away the 3 points is a very good result.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across, Bowers there, Pearce is there, Bowers with a header, and it's Jones!
Yes!
Oh, it's
in!
Oh, he's got! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it all!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. It's a podcast this week, of course. Don't forget, throughout lockdown, we've been recording remotely, and that will be the case for the foreseeable future. But thanks to everyone who's downloaded us. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on Acast or iTunes or anywhere else. And you'll hear more from Lee Bowyer, like we just did there. We heard from Lee Bowyer after yesterday's game. he sets very high standards, doesn't he, Lee Bowyer? And you could hear that. You could hear that in what he was saying after yesterday's game.
And I think that that's the reason why a lot of people have said over recent weeks he's maybe looked a little tired, or you know, he's come across as maybe a bit stressed out, because and he said in many statements that, you know, he give him the tools to do the job and he knows he can do it. And I think you're right, he sets high standards not just for the players under his charge, but for himself. And so when you're not given the tools, and when you know you're a bit hamstrung and arms tied behind your back, it's gonna have an effect, because you can't achieve the standards for yourself as well as your players that you want and you know you can achieve. So I think we've said it quite a few times in the time he's been here, and certainly during his managerial career with us, is that there's very few occasions, I think you can probably count them on half the fingers in one hand, when a team has gone out and you've thought they haven't really put a shift in. Because I think there's one thing that you're pretty much guaranteed from a Charlton side under Lee Bowyer, and that's they'll leave everything out on the pitch. So yes, we might lose, we might not have the quality at times, but generally speaking, they're always going to give 100+% whatever they can squeeze out of themselves, because Lee Bowyer demands it, and he wouldn't accept anything less.
Yeah, he certainly does. And as you heard in the interview there, you know, pleased to get the points, but. You know, obviously, like we're talking about his high standards, but obviously deep down, Tom, with everything that goes on at the moment, it always comes back to where we are as a football club, and the fact that the takeover is still yet to go through. I asked Bo if how sort of in the loop he is with all these things, because it's hard enough trying to keep up here when it isn't your livelihood that depends on it. But I mean, it must be so frustrating for Bo, because he probably looks at that squad he's got and those signings he's brought in, like Gilby and Washington and the young lad Levitt, who we're going to see at West Ham, and thinks, you know, I've got a spine here, I've actually got something to work with if we can add some meat to the bone. So he must be pulling his hair out.
Yeah, it's hanging over everybody, isn't it? It's hanging over the entire club. And Tell referenced it earlier. I mentioned it on Thursday that, having seen him at Swindon, he did look like a tired man. And he's clearly a glutton for punishment, because I've questioned why he's still here several times. But I think we've spoken a little bit about that. And look, he just needs that little bit of help, because they've shown time and time and time again in the relatively short time they've been here that him, Steve Gallen and Jacko can bring good, experienced, quality players in, and good youngsters as well, and improved players when they're here. And you probably need, what, four or five more at least to make a competitive squad. But a couple of defensive players, even that would just give so much more depth to that back four, so that we weren't relying on the likes of Charlie Barker or a 75-year-old Darren Prattley playing out of position. And it's just not fair on those players. So I understand his frustration, and it's the same with all of us. You know, you wake up, you refresh social media and you think, right, where's it going to go today? It's that much of at the forefront of everything that this club is doing, that for 90 minutes yesterday, it was actually nice to just watch some football and just take your mind off it. But the moment the game finishes, you know, you guys are asking questions to Bowyer about it, and rightly so. There's talk of whether Thomas Sandgaard is there or not. There's all this stuff buzzing around, and until that's cleared up, you know, that's going to be the focus, unfortunately, for this club. And to manage in that scenario and those circumstances, it must just be such hard work. And I'm not surprised he looks a little tired. But as I say, we don't know where it's going yet, and there doesn't seem to be any end in sight as far as we're aware. But if and when the takeover does happen, it would just hopefully just give us all that chance to just enjoy football again, because Nathan and I have said it on so many Thursday shows, we don't come on here to talk about ownerships and takeovers. I don't care who owns the club, I want to come on here and talk about football, and we just don't get that opportunity at the moment, unfortunately, because that is the focus at the moment, and the sooner it's done the better, obviously. But I think to have got a side out there yesterday and got a result is no mean feat, and he deserves a huge amount of credit for that, and hopefully he gets that help he needs in the coming weeks.
Yeah, because I mean, Bo was saying during the week, Tal, that as it stands, you know, the current squad will not be challenging for the top two, unfortunately. It was a lovely win yesterday, but over the course of a season, when your suspensions and your injuries start to take hold, as we've seen every year ever, it seems, but particularly last year, then it's going to be tough. It's almost impossible as well, Tell, to try and picture what the exact phase is at the moment. I think there's probably an assumption that, well, I think we know that Thomas seems to be waiting for the EFL. There's probably an assumption that they'll be waiting to find out what happens in this court hearing in midweek, because they don't really want to be signing off a takeover and saying, yeah, you're fit and proper to own the club, to someone buying it off someone without actually realising who exactly owns it in the first place.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about that, but I mean, earlier on, if we go back at, you know, rewind a touch, everybody was saying that the reason that we had so many people, and people have called them chancers, there are other words, that have come into our club and have owned our club, or not, as the case may be, and how do EFL allow such things to happen, is because the EFL have no say in who owns the club. It's not their remit. All they have to care about is that the people who own the club pass the director's test, you know, the officials and director's test. So I'm a bit perplexed as to how now, somehow, the EFL are being, you know, we're being told, and how true it is we don't know, of course, but, you know, we're being told that the possibility of the delay is because the EFL are suddenly now interested in who owns us, and that they've got to be, you know, decent people. Well, hold on, you can't have, it's either one thing or the other, you can't have both. And as much as I actually don't mind it, but it's a little bit too late, isn't it? You know, they should have done that 6 months ago.
Well, this time I think it's people trying to go around and do it the right way. So, you know, Thomas Angard doesn't want to be the owner of the club without having his EFL. Whereas if you're coming in to do naughty things with the club, then you don't really care whether the EFL, so you're just coming and do it anyway.
And I agree with you 100%. I wasn't actually complaining about this stage. I'm a bit perplexed as to why they didn't do it the first time around. But I think I've got a bit, you know, I've got a bit of an inside knowledge on this. I think and this is a bit of a scoop, by the way, they're waiting, obviously, people have said they're waiting for the EFL to sign it off. And that is a fact. I can tell you that. The problem is someone buried the pen that is used to sign these things. And that's why you heard the drilling noise yesterday, is there's people actually trying to find this pen. And it's quite deep, and that's why the noise happened for quite so long.
Well, there we go. An exclusive here on Charlton Live. It's ages since we've had one of those. Brilliant. I had an absolute heart-in-mouth moment yesterday. I know there was a rumour going around that Paul Elliott was going to attend yesterday's game, and I don't think there was ever any substance in that. But at the full time of yesterday's game, I just saw all the... There was a few big wigs sitting there. I didn't see many from Charlton, but there was just people exiting the stand who were there in the various director's box. And I, just for 50, like half a second, I was like, that's Matt Southwell there. And I was looking at this guy, I was like, that's Matt Southwell. And he turned around and it wasn't him, but God... I had absolute heart in mouth moment there, and imagine if it was. Imagine if he turned up after everything that he's done to the club. Who knows? And also, I managed to get locked in yesterday as well, Tell. That was one of the more confusing things about that stadium, is how you get out of it, because me and this other bloke were locked in there for about 20 minutes trying to find out, and there was no one left from crew to let us out.
I got to be honest, that cheered me up no end on the drive home. The knowledge that you were trying to get out. That actually happened to us at Northampton last time we were in League One. We had to get let out by the kit man about 2 hours later than we probably should have done, because everybody had locked up. So I sympathise. I feel your pain, because it's happened to me before, but it was still quite funny.
Yeah, oh, it's just the fact that this other journalist was there. He was literally talking through the fence to local children walking past, asking him to, can you go and knock on the door? And there was no one there. And we were in the end, he found like a turnstile that had a lock, like just a slide lock on the inside. And so we had to go out that, and we were like, well, now the stadium's left open. So I don't know if anyone else had got in after we left. But anyway, let's have a look at some of the tweets and emails that came in after yesterday's game. Let's look at the tweets first. Dan says, really pleased with the 3 points and the clean sheet. Hopefully Washington's performance is a sign of things to come. We just need the court case to hurry up and hopefully go our way, so we can get more bodies in to bolster the squad before the next injury crisis. In Bose, we trust. Yeah, Terry, what did you make of Washington all over? I mean, we've spoken about his goal. What was your reaction to his overall performance?
Yeah, well, you were saying earlier on about who were the standout performers, and obviously, you know, we've mentioned Charlie Barker, and quite rightly so, but I actually thought the movement of Conor Washington was encouraging yesterday. There are times that, unfortunately, I think at times his movement almost encourages a long ball, which I'm not sure he necessarily wanted. And I actually watched the Northern Ireland game in the week, and there was a similar thing where he makes those runs not necessarily for himself, but to sort of drag defenders away to hopefully allow other players to move into the space behind him. So the only thing, it's going to take a little bit of time, I think, for the side and for the squad to just get used to the way Conor plays, because his movement off the ball and his movement into space, I think, will is certainly going to cause defenders problems in this league. And I think, it bodes well for the future. I was really impressed with Connor's play yesterday.
Yeah, excellent stuff. We'll see. We'll hear what his goal target is. I think I might cut that out of the interview. But he's basically saying about how he wants to get into double figures this season. He hasn't actually done that for about 5 or 6 years. Last time he was in League One with Peterborough, he got 17 in all competitions. So he'll be eager to get back on the goal trail. Off to a good start there. Right, John tweets in, welcome back. Question, please. Can you bring players in and call them player coaches to beat the salary cap once the embargo is lifted, of course? Have a good show. I mean, Tom, we're trying to think of all sorts of ways to get around the embargo, but I'm sure if there was a loophole that we would have found it by now.
Well, considering we've got a coach and assistant manager who weren't playing that long ago, you'd think, even Boya, if worst comes to worst, get those lads to get their boots on. Yeah, we do need to find ways around it. And obviously, Boya has done that with Charlie Barker coming from the under-18s, has bypassed some sort of loophole as well. And unfortunately, we just talked about the takeover there. That's the position we're in at the moment. We've just got to do it any which way we can. And hopefully that changes soon. But the frustration, as Boya has referenced several times, is that he's got players lined up ready to come in, people ready to sign on the dotted line. But it's on the understanding that they're getting the salary cap and not the watered down version that we're currently having to offer. So, yeah, it's one of those things. Unfortunately, I think I said it on Thursday that going forward, I like the squad that we've got. I still don't think necessarily it's deep enough for a campaign, particularly if we had an injury crisis like last year. But going forward, we've got good players. It's just at the back that concerns me a little bit, because that depth just isn't there. But it's going to be an interesting 2 or 3 weeks, and we'll just have to see where we are come, is it October 5th the window closes, and see where we are then.
Yeah, I think October 5th, I think there's some sort of extension for perhaps internal deals after that. But yeah, it's certainly in October that the transfer window will close. Right, Will Bolland says, keep the faith as always. But there must be a point where even Will will start to lose the faith, but we're still keeping it as it stands. Tom says, considering we had a makeshift defence, we were relatively comfortable for most of the afternoon. If Sandgaard takes over, then hopefully we will be in for a good season. Stephen Mummery says, great to get away with the 3 points from Gresty Road. Less great that you managed to get away. Well, I did escape, Stephen. They can't keep me in there forever. I should have gone into the ice cream van stand, really, and see if I could have helped myself when I was locked in. But no, I did manage to break my way out of there. Right, Tony out in Spain says, a good first game yesterday from Charlton. Completely agree with Boya's assessment. We should have had 5 or 6 goals in the first half. An impressive debut displays from Barker, Washington and Gilby. Some great saves from Amos too. Hopefully we can strengthen before the window closes. Paul says that he was really impressed with Gilby. Could have done with his passing range last season, but glad to have got him now. Alex says, always important to get off to a good start. Washington debut goal was great to see, and the squad is hopefully only going to get stronger. Having Boya still in charge is hard for me to grasp still, but let's all go along for the ride once again. Up the addicts. Monty says, a solid start. Our front three will cause most teams problems. Feel we lack something in midfield. The defence performed admirably. The squad needs improving. Actually, one player I want to ask you about, Tel, was Maka. Macaulay Bon yesterday. I remember at one point in the second half seeing him trying to chase down a loose ball and looking rather frustrated. What did you make of him yesterday afternoon? He's working hard, which I think is what Boya's wanted to see a bit more from him of.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think I agree with both of those points. I think he did work hard. He did. He was up against Omar Beckles, who's decent in the air and a good player at this level, by the way. Surprised he went to Crewe, I've got to be honest. But I think the partnership between him and Conor Washington has got to take a little bit of time. It's not going to click straight away. And I think I look forward to that. They've just got to know who's making the runs, who's not. I think there was times when they were sort of making the same run. And we were still, every now and again, because we got a little impatient, we were still lumping the ball up to McCauley to see if he could flick it on rather than playing it on the floor. But you know, that'll come. I think you know the rustiness and players getting used to each other is going to happen. And I think with Conor and you know, let's not discount Chuck's Anike, because I think he could be a force in this division as well, whether from the start or off the bench, because he's got that physicality that I think could do well. So I think McCauley will be all right. I think we probably didn't play to his strengths yesterday, you know, and get wide often enough and get balls into the box for him. So there'll be games like that, but there'll be games where we will service him properly and he'll get goals.
Yeah, I do fancy Macca to get a fair few this season, especially if his finish in the cup game at Swindon was anything to go by. Right, Phil says on the takeover, we need to keep calm. There are NDAs in place and court cases, so nobody can give any details or they could jeopardise the whole thing. On Tuesday will be an interesting test, but our priority and focus must be getting back to the Championship and then the Premier League. On yesterday's game, it's nice to see Gilby passing the ball in front of Doughty for him to run onto. So many passes are made to feet or behind the player, stopping all momentum. Hopefully a sign of things to come. Also, it was a good run and a good finish. And finally, Muzza Jazz says, I didn't think we played that well. We didn't hold on to the ball. The makeshift defence is a concern. Bose has done wonders, though, as usual. Let's hope the takeover gets done ASAP and the embargo lifted ASAP as well, so we can put a competitive team together and move forward up the Reds. Cheers for your tweets, everybody. Let's hear from one of yesterday's goal scorers, shall we? Conor Washington, of course, being away on international duty with Northern Ireland, but he's come back straight into the team for the opening day at Crewe, and his striker was very happy to kick his season off with a goal.
Yeah, 3 points as well. Doesn't get much better than that. Tough away trip. They're going to be on a high, obviously, getting promoted last year, and it's really important. We came here, and the manager said after the game it wasn't the performance we wanted, and we know our levels have got to be a lot better than that. But at the same time, we've got to take the positives. It's 3 points away from home. So.
And you came into the game after being away on international duty. They only played the start after being away on international duty. No problems with that?
No, I felt good. Managed to get minutes when I was away, which was positive. Obviously, I missed the two games, so it was good to get minutes in the both games that I did. And I felt good all pre-season, to be honest. There's been no fitness issues whatsoever. I felt good, I felt sharp, so I was looking forward to obviously trying to get in the team.
Can you talk us through the goal? We saw the build-up players go to two headers that open drop into the penalty area. Talk me through the finish.
Yeah, I got to give credit to Deji, to be fair. He's actually picked me out and even said my name before he headed it to me, so I don't think centre-halves get enough credit for stuff like that. So it was a great header in, and to be fair, I've tried to get contact on it and slice the life out of it, but they go in. So like you said, it's great to start with a goal and 3 points.
Probably did you a favour. If you'd have made the proper contact, the keeper, it might have gone straight to the keeper or maybe not even on target.
Exactly that. I've had plenty of them where you catch it too sweet. So yeah, delighted to have scored, and like I said, most importantly, the 3 points, and we build and go on to Tuesday now.
Obviously, you've come into the side, new player. Settled in okay. No issues, I'm assuming, in your teammates and getting on the ball running. It certainly didn't seem like that today.
No, definitely not. The lads have been absolutely brilliant. It's a great group. I think, obviously, the circumstances around everything last year made a big difference, but the group's great, and I think going forward, I think we'll be really successful.
Obviously, fans would have seen you playing against us from time to time, and now senior players, what can you say you're going to bring to the side for the fans watching?
Just running in behind, obviously the goals are something I really want to build on and get as many as possible, and just helping the team in any way I can, whether that be filling in positions or just running power, to be honest, getting in behind and trying to create and score goals.
Do you set yourself any personal targets for a season, or do you just let it come?
Yeah, just try and get to double figures as quickly as possible and then see where it takes you from there. So. If I'm the enemy's true,
let's
space on the right-hand side for Alfie Doughty now in the penalty area. This is a huge chance for the Addicts, and it's Alfie Doughty who puts Charlton into the lead with a calm left-footed finish. It was a wonderful fall through to the youngster, and he pulled it in onto his left foot and slides it beyond the goalkeeper. It's Crewe Alexandra 0, Charlton Athletic 1.
Charlton Live.
Right, so welcome back to Charlton Live. That was Connor Washington speaking to Tell. After yesterday's game, he got his goal. We're always going to have different types of strikers, aren't we, Tom? So for someone, obviously, who hasn't had the best scoring record over the last few years, you know, he's speaking about how he's going to be running in behind a lot and trying to help the team. And there was a couple of times yesterday where I looked up and he was tracking back quite nicely as well. So he certainly looks like Bo's sort of picked out like a hard worker that will complement our front line quite nicely.
Definitely, yeah. And, you know, we're not going to be able to sign someone who's scored 30 goals a season for the last 3 or 4 years, unfortunately. But as you said, last time he was in League One, he did get a good goal return. And okay, it hasn't worked out for him necessarily since then, but you can see what he offers. And you think back to the signing of Josh Parker on loan in the January of the season we went up. You know, it was largely derided because not many people knew who he was or looked at his goal record. And I think even after 2 or 3 performances, people were still questioning that. But the impact he had on the team and the support he gave Lyle Taylor as our goal scorer over those final games was invaluable. And let's not forget he won the free kick, obviously, that we went on to score out at Wembley. So he was able to play an important role without actually getting the ball in the net. And I think Connor is probably going to do that. He strikes me as someone who's going to play slightly wider. And it looks from the TV yesterday that him and Doughty were playing either side of Macca. Macca is going to have to be, I think, our main man for goals, probably, in playing that number 9 through the middle role. But Connor cutting in from one side and Alfie from the other, they're the two that got on the score sheet yesterday. And Macca, with his hold-up play, they're going to need to be buzzing around him and winning balls from him and being direct in their running. And I thought Washington did a lot. And okay, the finish itself was a bit scrappy, but you've got to be there and you've got to take it. And he did. And again, to get off the mark already at this stage in the season, it will obviously breed confidence in him. And I don't think there's any harm in him just aiming for double figures at this stage. You know, someone, you want your number 9 to probably go out and get 15 to 20, probably, if you're going to be up around the top of the league. But I think coming into a new club, if he gets 10 or 11 goals and provides the support that a Josh Parker type did for Lyle Taylor, if he does the same for Macaulay Bonn, I think we've got a very good player there.
Excellent stuff. Well, let's have a look at some of the emails that have come in as well. This is a good one from Dom that I saved from midweek. He says, as crazy as this sounds, and believe me, this was absolutely surreal, Lee Bowyer and his family lived next door to mine for 8 months, including during lockdown. I never wanted to say anything to respect their privacy, but I figure it's probably okay to share a memory or two. They were honestly the most ideal neighbours we could have ever asked for. In fact, I said to Lee in our last chat when they were leaving that they were the best neighbours we've ever had on a number of levels. What we really appreciated was how genuine they were as a family. Sometimes successful, busy people don't make a lot of time for others, but it was the opposite was true for them. They always gave us their full attention and made an effort to say hi. There was one time when my dad's very rickety old car that refuses to replace broke down early in the morning, and Lee came out and helped him fix it and get started before chatting about the Charlton game earlier on in the week before my dad went off to work and Lee went to training. He always would say hi to us, and his wife Gemma was good fun and very easy to talk to. It's nice to talk about the fishing reservoirs too, as it relates to my uni degree in part. Their twins loved our greyhound as well. There was never anything pretentious or fake about them, which we just really appreciated. I spoke to Lee just before the season restarted, and he was a bit apprehensive but thought we would be fine in the end, as he put it. So it must have been so heartbreaking for him when we didn't quite manage to stay up, and I guess that was pretty much clear from his interview after the Leeds match. Anyway, I'm sure we're all massively glad to still have him at Charlton despite all the nonsense going on. We've been so fortunate with all the great people we've had at Charlton, likely Bowyer, Chrissy Powell and Alan Kerbishley. I'm forever grateful to be a Charlton supporter despite the bumpy rides. Hopefully we'll be able to wave off the banter bus and look forward to a stable future with the Great Dane in the not too distant future. Lovely email, Dom. It's great to hear that Lee Bowyer is a nice neighbour. I can only imagine, like, if I don't know, like if you ever got the wrong side of him as a neighbour, Tell. I wouldn't like the idea of that, but it's, I can imagine he could give you,
I think we need to check both neighbours.
Because doesn't he live near Glove Pup as well? Because
yeah, he does, yeah.
I think he'd live near. I think he tries to avoid him. I think that Lebo's probably got him on a, on some sort of protection list.
Yeah, I'd hope so. Anyway, that's what I'd do with Glove. But right, let's have a look at the next email. This one's coming from Sam. It says, great result to start the season off, but it was a game lacking quality for large parts. The lack of defensive substitutes on the bench really hit home how short of bodies we are. Playing young Charlie Barker against any team with a bit more quality going forward is going to cause us issues. Hopefully Sangard can get the deal done on Monday and we can get more quality in the squad by Doncaster next Saturday. Random rumour of the week, Jack Wilshere to Charlton, up the Addicts. Yeah, I can't quite see that one coming off, but it's interesting actually, Tom, what he said there about Charlie Barker against a stronger opposition, because I'm not sure I agree with that, because I thought he was up against Kirk, the sort of blonde-haired winger for Crewe for the majority of the game, and that's one of Crewe's strong points. You know, they attack down the wings, and I thought, you know, for considering it was one of Crewe's better players, I thought he dealt with him pretty well for the majority of the game.
Completely agree. I think you have to take his performances on face value, and so far everybody he's come up against he's handled very, very well. I think if you look at him on paper, you know, 17, hadn't played a league game before today, you're probably going to be wary. But if you ignore all that and just watch his performance on the pitch, I think it's up to somebody to prove him wrong at the moment, because at the moment he's doing everything that's asked of him. He's playing out of position. He's playing in League One, which he never would have expected to do. You know, we heard from him after the Swindon game and he said, you know, I'm playing against men here. I'm playing against adults and I'm not used to doing that. And usually people get a little bit of experience with that through the 23s with players coming back from injury, or they'll have a spell out on loan somewhere in the lower leagues or even non-league to get a chance. And he's just been thrown in there. And I think so far, I'm sure there are little mistakes here and there, but you know, he's kept a clean sheet there. He wasn't at fault for anything that happened at Swindon and obviously got a goal up the other end there. So I've been very, very impressed with him. And as I said earlier, when I talked about the tweet I put out yesterday, it's absolutely no criticism of him. I think he's handled himself amazingly well. I just don't think it's fair for us to rely on him and to force him out there week in, week out, because he is still a young man. He is, I'm sure, at some point going to make mistakes. If he doesn't, then good on him and there's our player of the year sorted. But he just needs a bit of support and a bit of protection. And at the moment, unfortunately, we're not able to give him that. But if he keeps performing like yesterday and like he did last weekend at Swindon, then good luck to the boy, because he certainly has looked very solid so far.
Yeah, certainly has. Right, Steve, emails in. Welcome back, chaps. Great to hear the show again. Cheers, mate. A workmanlike performance from the team, but 3 points and a clean sheet is all that matters. Doughty looks like he will be a match winner at this level, but really impressed with Gilby, who could be the goal-scoring assisting midfielder that we've been looking for since JJ retired. Also interesting to see the impact the drop has had on certain players. Deji looked totally lost last season, but very assured at Crewe. Hopefully the likes of Lapsley, Purrington and Morgan will do the same this season. Just 45 wins more to promotion. I mean, you're setting a very high points target there, Steve, because I reckon 40 wins would do it quite comfortably. Terry, realistically, someone asked me today actually what I thought Charlton's aims are for this season. And I said that's a question that's impossible to answer at this moment in time, because we don't know where we're going to be in 2 weeks' time.
I'd agree 100%. I think you have to wait and see what happens, because where we could finish, if you said nothing will change from this point forward, then I'd bite your arm off a mid-table obscurity. If you know what happens that we hope happens in a couple of weeks, then obviously our sights are going to be set a little bit higher. I think you have to be a tad cautious, and I do feel a bit sorry for there's a Bolton fan who put 50 quid on Bolton to go the whole season undefeated in there. You know, now they're in League Two, and it was 500-1, and they fell at the first hurdle yesterday. So he's not got much of a season to look forward to. So I just think, I agree with you. It's an impossible question to answer, because there's so much that can happen and change in a short space of time.
Yeah, I did like that story about the Bolton fan who put that bet on. It's amazing, isn't it, the way that fans get carried away. But we saw a great example, didn't we, yesterday of how tough a time this is for football fans. I mean, for starters, there's hundreds of Charlton fans who wish they could have come yesterday, because Crewe's a new ground, and I'm sure they would have enjoyed it. But I'm sure plenty of you saw that picture that was doing the rounds yesterday of a fan who was... you know, on his stepladder, an old boy who was watching the game over the wall at Gresty Road, and it's a glorious photo. But the photo I want to see is of him like forlornly going down the steps at like 2-0 at half time and just folding up his ladder because the mighty Charlton have ruined his afternoon when he can't even get in. But there we go, each to their own. Right, an email comes in from Derek. Hi chaps, really good to have Charlton Live back. It's always great hearing you guys try to understand legal processes. Yeah, that's a not usually our forte, unfortunately. I usually listen to the podcast while I walk the dog, and yesterday I listened to a July broadcast by mistake. It was pretty disheartening to hear the concern expressed about our dodgy owners and uncertain future. Obviously, it was a while before I realised it was an old broadcast. Yeah, let's hope that finally changes this week. Yesterday's game, I agree 100% with Lee Bowyer that we can play better. However, it was important to just get the win and help the depleted squad build some confidence. I thought Deji Oshalaja had a very good game coming up against an awkward centre forward. He also tacked the ball really well to make that second goal. The takeover, like most Charlton fans, I've got everything crossed that it all plays out well this week and we see Thomas Sandgaard become the sort of owner we're crying out for. It would be the most Charlton thing ever if the takeover goes ahead successfully. He invests in the squad, Lee Bowyer gets the players he's after, and then we get relegated anyway. Tuesday's trip to West Ham, it really just a good opportunity to have a look at the fringe players. Just kidding, I hope we smash them. Apart from winning, let's just try to avoid injuring future Charlton signing Mr. Josh Cullen. I'm sure we'll see him play. Thanks for a great show. Just off to take a couple of paracetamol for a headache. You see, there was this really loud drilling noise yesterday. Terry, any ideas what you could be going on about there?
It was Greg.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, cheers for your email there, Derek. And we've got one more that's come in from Tom Mannering, and he says, a great win and a great start on Saturday. Couldn't criticise the team and Bowyer's tactics with the players he has and what's going on behind the scenes. We scored twice, clean sheet, and both new signings played well, and of course we got 3 points. We go again. My question for the lads on the podcast, do we go for it on Tuesday against West Ham? Well, Tom, you know, it's a bonus game. Bo mentioned in his interview there that he'll make a couple of changes. We'll see the likes of Dylan Levitt starting for the first time. Sounds like Charlie Barker's going to get another go as well. But I mean, how do you approach this game? It's like there's nothing to lose, really, and a chance to go and cause a bit of an upset against the West Ham side who've got their own, not quite our level, but they've got their own problems at the moment.
I think if we had a slightly larger squad, Bowyer would be putting an almost completely different 11 out there. And that's not to say that he dismisses this competition. He said it after the Swindon result. You know, I put a side out there to win every single week. He's never going to put a side out and hope we lose. But obviously the counter of winning this game, or the negative, if there is one, of winning these games, is that it adds another one to the calendar when you've got such a small squad. So I think he's going to be wary of that, but I think you've just put it perfectly there. There's absolutely nothing to lose. I think he'll rotate a few players where he can, as you say. Hopefully Levitt will get a bit of a run out. Possibly Chucks will get some minutes, hopefully. But his focus has to be the league, because that's obviously the bread and butter. And if we get a takeover, then I think we could be competitive in this league. So I think, yeah, it's going to be a great experience for them. I'm sure West Ham aren't necessarily going to be full strength, but there'll be some good quality players in there for sure. And just go and give it a go. It's a great experience. It's a huge stadium. It's a shame fans can't be there, because we'd have obviously had a huge allocation, I'd expect, in the cup and been able to take a few thousand there. So it would have been a great day out, but it wasn't to be. So, yeah, I think he'll obviously just be fingers crossed that people don't get injured. And if we lose, I'm sure he'll look at the positives. And if we win, again, I'm sure he'll be buzzing, but it will unfortunately result in another game. So, yeah, it's a funny old one at the moment, just because of where the club are. But as I say, he's not going to put a side out there that he wants to lose. So he'll be going for the win for certain.
Yeah, and I think the winner of that tie will play either Leeds or Hull at home. So one to look forward. I mean, Tom mentioned there, Terry, about how disappointing it is that we can't get fans in. I think we should maybe just touch on the fact that next week is Doncaster at home. Which we kept being told was likely to be a test event. It's probably quite revealing that we haven't really heard anything about that now, and we're a week away. With the current situation with the coronavirus seeming to make a little bit of a comeback at the moment, I wonder if that's put that in doubt. We're in a difficult position where we still don't know whether we're going to be able to get fans into a game that's happening at home next week.
Yeah, I think if I was to put money on it, I'd say it was unlikely. But I asked that question yesterday, funnily enough, and was told that there'd be an announcement. I don't think the club have been told one way or the other yet either. And I think they're expecting to hear early next week. So fans will find out at some point early to middle next week whether or not that goes ahead as a potential a test for having fans in. How many, I'm not sure. I don't think the club knows either, and how we work. It's very short notice if they say on Wednesday or Thursday that you can, oh yeah, all right, yeah, you can let fans in, because, you know, the club have got to organise themselves properly because of the COVID regulation. So my gut feeling is it probably won't, which is sad. I think most people are probably, if it goes ahead, it's probably best done properly and allow the club to have enough time to do it properly rather than just rush it, because otherwise it could have more serious consequences. Just my thought on Wednesday, I'm torn between two, and I wonder if Lee Bowyer is as well. I'm torn between, you know, sticking two fingers up at the EFL and just playing the under-18s, because we know they don't count as a squad. In the squad numbers, and just so putting a kids team out, or actually going for it, because you think West Ham could be a little bit tender and a little bit susceptible because of the situation they're in at the minute.
Yeah, and just beaten by Newcastle, and to be fair, we can't be that much worse than Newcastle or West Ham at this moment in time, so we'll see. Right, I think it's about time that we drew an end to the show. Just want to say congratulations to the women's team. Anyone who heard Thursday's pod would have heard Jess King after a goal against Palace. Well, she got another one today in the game against Blackburn Rovers, and it just so happened to be a 92nd minute winner, so the girls went and won 1-0 up at Blackburn, their first league win in 14 games, or basically well over a season, because they didn't get one last year. So brilliant start to the season to them. So congratulations. We'll be back on Thursday when we'll look back at whatever happens against West Ham in the League Cup. We'll also hopefully be discussing about whether fans will be going to the Doncaster game, but we'll certainly be looking forward to that Donny one. So just want to say thanks to Tom and Terry for joining me on the pod this evening.
Cheers, mate.
Good to have you on. I've been Louis Mendez. We'll be back here on Thursday evening. Hope you've enjoyed the show, and we'll speak to you again in the week.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.